Quit eating your burgers off a coffee table. If you want to eat a burger, put it on a bar. Follow your instincts to B-Dubs for the new All-American Cheeseburger. Fresh, juicy beef smashed till it's crispy around the edges, covered in gooey cheese, and stacked to the ceiling with deliciousness. And knock that baby down with a frosted beer at the bar. Just like the sports gods intended. The new All-American Cheeseburger at Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar! Please drink responsibly.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, Pauline. Thanks for joining me. Today, we're looking into the consumer sector. Now, sector net profit increased 18% year-on-year, led by gains by Aeon, Hyo, and Heineken, reporting earnings are above your forecast. Now, all things considered, Pauline, were there more hits than misses or otherwise?
I think in terms of our coverage, we had three above expectations. So this was Hyo, Heineken, and Aeon. And three were in line with our expectations. That was Carlsberg, Bonia, and BAT, and also three below our expectations, which include Nestle, Parkson, and MSM. So it was roughly quite even in that sense.
And among the key factors that weigh down on earnings include the cost of raw materials, I guess, which have increased riding on the commodity price rally that we've seen. So far, we've seen the cost of sugar and whole milk increasing 9 and 28% on average. Pauline, do you see further margin compression in the sector? How do you see this impacting players?
There could be a further margin compression should cost of raw materials go up higher and companies are actually unable to pass these costs on to consumers. Nonetheless, in the overall market of a weak consumer sentiment, where top-line growth is somewhat more muted, some companies are actually finding other ways to reduce any potential margin compression by controlling other costs and also streamlining their processes to make it more efficient.
And talking about the passing on the costs, we've seen players' ability to do that, you know, to raise prices, you know, hindered with the implementation of the new Price Control Act, which took effect early this year. Some stakeholders, and according to media reports that we've read already, have raised concern about the exact markup and calculations. But Pauline, what have some of the industry players guided so far on, you know, possible price increases in analyst briefings?
So far, industry players actually think that the Act allows for more flexibility in terms of raising prices. Although the Act does seem more complex, some industry players have already been or are in the process of passing the increase in input costs to consumers, as seen in the past year. But we do not think that the price increases would be at a large quantum because in this current environment of weak sentiment, it's more about gradual price adjustment as it is difficult for companies to increase the prices without affecting their volumes.
And on a year-on-year basis, sector headline profit actually fell 16% year-on-year as the sector still reels from the weaker consumer sentiment that you mentioned. MIER's Consumer Sentiment Index latest fourth quarter reading saw the index falling 3.8 points to 69.8, so it's still below the threshold of confidence. Pauline, do you see a chance of a pickup in the near term, especially, you know, compounded with the effects of a weaker ringgit too?
Near term would remain challenging to see a pickup because inflation has spiked up to 3.2% since January. And with the recent February numbers, we see that it has actually gone up a further 4.5% in February. And this is actually the highest year-on-year growth since November 2008. Also sharply higher than market expectations of 3.9%. This was mainly due to the higher cost of transport, which accelerated from 8.3% year-on-year in January to 17.9% year-on-year in February, and also the increase in prices of food and non-alcoholic beverages, which increased by 4.3% year-on-year in February. If you compare that to January, it was an increase of 4% due to a rising cost of oils, meat, fruit and vegetable, and also an increase in cost of housing and utilities. So if you look at the ringgit actually saw a weakening of 8% in fourth quarter 2016. And year to date, it is at an average level of about 4.45 ringgit. So with goods costing more and the ringgit still weak, a pickup in sentiment for the first half of 2016 seems less likely at this point.
And moving on now to your other coverages, Pauline, you've upgraded MSM Berhad from sell to hold. So I guess the government recently raised the ceiling prices of sugar by 11 cents to 2 ringgit and 95 cents. So are you expecting better earnings projection for the group?
So the group's FY16 earnings were really affected by raw sugar prices, as seen through their GP margin contraction of 8.8 percentage points to 12.4%. And while they have managed to pass on these costs through their industrial segment by increasing the approved permit prices, these approved permit prices was repriced again in 1st November to 2,780 ringgit per ton from 2,400 to 2,500 ringgit per ton. So they were unable to pass it through the domestic segment, which actually accounts for 53% of their revenue because of the price ceiling. So with the raise of the ceiling price, they should be able to pass on some of the increase in raw material costs, and this should be better for margins moving forward.
And also, Hi-O Berhad, you've also upgraded the stock to buy with a higher target price of 5.90 ringgit. Do you see more upside to its MLM division?
Hi-O has actually been seeing an uptrend growth in its top line due to this multi-level marketing division. And we think this is likely due to two things. Firstly, the number of distributors being added to its distributor force is actually strong at 3,000 to 5,000 distributors per month. And secondly, their strategy of focusing on small ticket items instead of big ticket items is actually bearing fruit. And these small ticket items actually account for 70% of their top line. So we view that with the increase in distributors, their MLM division will continue to prosper.
And your overall call on the sector, Pauline, is neutral. And you favour dividend yielders, especially in the brewery and tobacco sector. But against, you know, this challenging backdrop and some of the factors we mentioned, and also, you know, the specific issues in industry like illicit trade and, you know, risk of further hikes in excess duties, will the breweries and tobacco counters, are they able to maintain their dividend payouts and yield?
For the breweries and tobacco, while they do not have a set dividend payout ratio, historically we see that they normally have a high dividend payout ratio at 90% and above. And given that the breweries have actually done pretty well for FY16, they should be able to maintain their dividend payout and yield moving forward. If you look at the tobacco segment, BAT was actually challenged in terms of volumes. Actually, the overall segment was also a challenge in terms of volumes. But BAT was affected by this. And you recall that the group is actually switching from being a manufacturing firm and manufacturing its own cigarettes to actually sourcing them from other regions. So this could potentially bring about cost savings from the second half of 2017 onwards. But yes, the industry might face further challenges. There are actually recent indications that the authority is looking into ways to increase prices to deter people from smoking. But BAT should be able to maintain their dividend payout. So if you look at FY16, it was a challenging year, but they actually paid 98% of their earnings out. And this wasn't including the special dividend, which actually brought up payout ratio up to over 110% if you include that in.
Great. Thanks so much for your insights. That was Yap Pauline, analyst at Affin Hwang Capital. And now Julian Ng is standing by to speak to Ben LeBron, market analyst at Options Express in Sydney.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
5-Hour Tea with caffeine from green tea leaves. It's delicious, energizing, and comes in 3 amazing flavors. With 0 sugar and 4 calories, it fits your life. With its compact size and portability, it goes where you go. To the campsite, the hiking trail, the beach, without weighing you down. 5-Hour Tea, caffeine from green tea leaves. Release your natural side from the makers of 5-Hour Energy. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. Try 5-Hour Tea today. Look for all 3 flavors by the cash register at your local TA and Petro shopping centers.